Last week, Jason preached to you using the same text I'm going to be using today and the same title. Now, we're doing it. Yeah, it's all right. We're doing it because you can tell these stories the same way. They're coming forward by the dozens, which is great. Oh, I didn't know there was a bucket over there. Well done. I was thinking they were putting it in the Lord's Supper, which would get us written up, but that's all right. We're used to that. We're going to tell the story again. Not that Jason did a poor job last time, but rather there's another angle to the story that we want to bring up. I love it. It's cool. Peter stood before the crowd in Pentecost. He faced Jews just like him. Kind of. The Jewish people by that time had already separated, literally going all over the known world. And they were from 12 provinces and they didn't speak the same language anymore. But they still kept the same holidays and they still spoke the same sacred languages in their prayers. But they were different. Their cultures at this time had become different. Their stories had become diverse. Peter had to call them back in Acts chapter 2 to their story, which had begun 1500 years before with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and bring them all the way up to where at the end of chapter 2, they could be a part of a brand new story that God was making on this earth. The stories were important to them. Look what God says to them. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things. Then, when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord. It is so easy to forget the Lord in our story. Think of it this way. We can go through our week and say, look at the deck I built on my house. Yes, we repainted that room. Just got to pay off the car. I just found a new job and it's in the same city. And we talk like this. Those are all good things. Those are all positive things. Somehow, however, we need to remember our story. We were given these good things because of God. It is the grace of God that we eat. It is the grace of God that we have homes. It is the grace of God that we've got jobs. We are part of a big story. The Jews in front of Peter needed to remember their story. They were there, in fact, to continue their story. Their religious traditions included Pentecost, which was the day that this all takes place in Acts chapter 2. They go through these to remember the stories and to teach their children about the stories. Stories held in common are important. They're the glue that holds people together. They're also markers of identity so that no matter how far we are scattered, we can still be together. We can still remember who we are. We know we belong because we share a common story. It's interesting to me. Sometimes I'll go places and I don't have a Scottish accent or an Irish accent or anything. I just tell people I'm from Detroit and we all talk like this. But people will come up to me and they'll say, oh, we're Scottish too. Except normally the way it comes out is something like, well, we're Scottish too. You know, and I'm going, oh, all right. That's good then. You come from Mac Redneck clan or something. I'm not really sure what it is. But they will, they're very proud and they'll talk about my great great grandfather actually knew a fellow that shook hands with a guy that was from Scotland and we're related. And I'm going, no, that's a rumor. You know, that's not blood. That's rumor at this point. But they want the story. They want to be a part of the story. Stories are so important that when Charlton Heston, who most of you know for playing Moses in the Ten Commandments movie, was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. He gave a farewell speech, which you can still find in some places on the web. And I was stunned by the humanity in his speech and how open he was. He was in the very early stages, but he knew he would quickly slide. And during the speech, he asked his friends, he said, when my friends come to see me, if I'm telling you the same story I've already told you several times, If I've even told you that same story, that very visit that you're making, please let me finish the story. Don't tell me I've already told you, because I need to tell my story before I'm gone. That's very true. How many of us have lost relatives without hearing their stories? That really pains me. My relatives have been so scattered, I know almost none of their stories. And a few of them, it looks like they had some pretty interesting stories, but they took them with them. In books and movies, each of us have a story. There's a guy that's made a good living writing books about why you should write a book. Because his idea is every life is worth a novel. Every life is worth a story. Well, we all have our stories. And some movies and such are made of telling everybody's story and then ramming them together. Perhaps the most recent version of this, most successful recent version of this, was the movie Crash a couple of years ago that won all kinds of Academy Awards. It had everything from a racist cop to African Americans, to rich people that didn't care about the poor, to poor people, and told the stories and then literally crashed them together. And it was an amazing, although difficult movie to watch, it was an amazing juxtaposition of all those stories. Paul would later write about his story. By the way, Acts 2 is another one of those moments. All of these people, all of these Jews that had scattered all over are now gathered in one place. Well, Paul would write of his story and say, I have finished my course. Or as said in the NIV, I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Have you noticed how this starts? It starts looking individual. I finished my race, literally. I have kept the faith. But now I'm going to receive what is given to all of those who have longed for his appearing. All of our stories are part of a bigger story. Your story's bigger than you think. You wake up in the morning, especially tomorrow morning, you might look at the clock and go, really? Really? This is what you're doing to me? I just spent the week over in Whitby Island, which is just off the west coast of the state of Washington. They're several hours behind here. Now that took some adjustment, but my wife and I adjusted just in time to fly back. Now when the alarm rings and it's 6:30, I'm thinking, really? Humans know this is really 3:30 at this stage. This is wrong. And of course, just about the time you're sitting down to, getting up is whenever I'm sleeping, and it's going to take a while. We understand jet lag. But as we're over there, we're coming back, we're looking, we're going, really? And it's Monday morning. Who loves Monday? Some people do, but we don't like them, do we? Most of us don't care for it. But what if your day were part of a grander story? And you're going to play your part in a big story, which is bigger than you. Then Mondays aren't just another day. It's time to go on stage. As Shakespeare would say, all the world is a stage. We step up on it as our players. We do our job. We're not Jews, though. So when we read Acts chapter 2, a lot of that story, we're going, well, that's really great. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and it's this one blood and this little tribe, but that's not us. And it's easy to be disconnected from the story. But these people didn't quite understand what was going to happen to the story. Good stories have a surprise. There's a surprise here. Jesus has already tried to give it away. He said, go into all the world. And they're going, aha. To them, that meant to the Jew next door. Maybe, if you're very adventurous, to a Jew over in Galatia or a Jew over in Antioch, but it was always to the Jews. In fact, when we see them going, where do they end up first? Most of them, in a synagogue. They go where the Jews are gathered. But this story is going to include everybody. It's going to become a common story. Now, you hear a lot today about the loss of a common story. There are some things which are icons. Everybody recognize where this is from? Where's it from? It's A Wonderful Life. Absolutely. A film that failed when it was first released in July of that year. I'm not making that up. They sat on it, though. They sat on it for a year and a half, then decided, well, it's going to rot in the can. And they released it in July and it failed. Wonder why. But since then, it's become a staple. One of the reasons, by the way, it became a staple is because the people forgot to renew the copyright. And therefore, it was free to show for a while. It's not that way anymore. So it was shown everywhere. But we see this and we go, oh, it's a common experience. Once upon a time, your grandparents, not your parents, but your grandparents, knew that everybody was watching the same show on television. If it was this particular night, it's Milton Berle, where the dancing Texaco gasoline station attendant. I'm not making that up. It was a simpler time. This night, it would be Jackie Gleason. Why? Shared common story. And coming around, we know it's almost Halloween because the stores are decorated for Christmas. And we know that's going to happen. We don't walk in the mall. Now, you might walk in the mall and go, this is way too early. But in which case, you're wrong. I love Christmas. It can stay up as far as I'm concerned. But if you walk in and you see it and you go, oh, it's Christmas, you're not shocked. That's what our culture does. And then our culture does these, you know, there's going to be a white sale in January. You know, there are certain things. We have common stories. But then the world changed. I was a teenager before I heard of Hanukkah. I didn't hear Kwanzaa until I was in my 20s and was in America and heard about it. Stories are changing. We're more diverse now. Now, you can, if you want to, sit at home and go, I wish this was the old days, but that's silly and ineffective. It's not the old days. Why don't we deal with the days we've got? And if the stories are getting more diverse, then maybe we can play our story in a more diverse place. And it will even gain more power. Our story is a story of all of us, not of one country or one race. Look at it this way. What about us? You are a human being. Deal with it. You are more than many sparrows, God says. And He likes sparrows. He says a sparrow doesn't fall to earth without the Father. Read Job 39 and 40. You'll see He loves animals. He counts the month until the deer gives birth. When the little ravens are crying out for food, He says, I hear them and I make sure they get the food. He loves animals, but He says, you are far more valuable than the animals. You might not feel it, but that doesn't matter because you are. Not a matter of feeling, it's a matter of fact. You are higher than any other animal. You're a human being. You have been born into the human race. You were made in the image of God. You were dreamed into existence by God. Psalm 139. Before you were born, God saw you. He formed you. He planned you. He even wrote a book about you before you were born. Read Psalm 139. He loves you. You have been born into the human family. And you quickly learned, it's a learning, it's a lab you're born into. You quickly learned, can I trust my family? Can I trust my environment? Some of you, tragically, came from terrible families. And if I could undo that, I would. In some sense, though, God's undoing it since you're here. Because He's bringing you into a different story. A different family. Oh, you know what this is like. You go and you sit around the table, let's say at Thanksgiving, with all your relatives. And what do people do with babies and little kids? They'll go, oh, look, he has his mother's eyes. Look, he looks like his father. Look, or sometimes it's a negative. You're just like your father. Yes, I understand that. But most of the time, it's more of a, oh, look, they fit in the family. Right? And some of us, as little kids, looked around that same table and went, oh, no, this is bad. All we could do is pray that we were adopted or would be. We would take either. You're in this family. And then as you grew up, something happened. You sinned. It's a common story. We're all human. We all grow up. We all sin. What is sin? Sin is when you know what right and wrong is and you've chosen wrong. And everybody here has done it. Everybody who is above certain age has done that. Now, you can also sin without knowing you sinned, but most of us, let's be fair, we knew we were sinning when we did it. We knew it was wrong and we did it anyway. That's rebellion. That's sin. So what are you going to do about that? That's our common story. We can repent of it. We can even say we're never going to do it again, and we might never do it again. But we have still done it. We have released evil into the universe. What are you going to do about that? It is very true. And some of you know this. If you've been through war, or you've come upon a traffic accident, or you've seen things sometimes, that what has been seen cannot be unseen. What has been done cannot be undone. That's the human story. Some haven't learned this part of that story. They've been lied to, or they've lied to themselves. And they say, you know, no. Wait a minute. We're all right. It's the other people that are all wrong. Now, I need to stress here that I've not delved into the data. I don't know how they come about their data. I've not crunched the numbers for myself. But they keep putting this out about two or three times a year and have, as long as I can remember. And that is the rankings of where American students are against developed nations. We have been dropping. Right now, this they came out last week again. We were like 25th when it came to math out of 28 nations. And we were 27th when it came to language or science or something. We were all way down at the bottom. However, when it came to confidence, we were number one. So we're not good at anything, but we feel good about that. And we're pretty sure we're special anyway. Perhaps you've seen the bumper sticker that goes, "You are unique and special, just like everybody else in the world." Sometimes we've been lied to and we tell ourselves, "You're perfect and you're wonderful and you're perfect and you're wonderful," but somewhere in us, we know better than that. Peter was facing a group of people that realized they had sinned, but felt that their sins weren't all that bad. Compared to the Gentiles, their sins weren't bad at all. Most of us feel that way. That we'll even, we don't have an affair. We have, or rather, we don't commit adultery. We have an affair. We don't cheat our neighbors and government. What we do is just, we forgot to file. We always lower ours. Your dirt's dirty. My dirt's not bad. It's wrong if you do something. It's all right if I do it. Right? That's part of the human story. And Peter was facing that kind of people. And he had to tell them the truth about their story. And that is that we're all guilty. Hey, people, Jews didn't kill Jesus. Sin did. And although I hate to say it, I contributed to the death of Jesus Christ because I sinned. I don't think there's a drop of Jewish blood in my body. It wouldn't bother me if there was. I'm part of the human family. But that also means that I have sinned. And I, like you, put him on that cross. So what are we going to do with this story? There's an answer. They go to Peter and they say, "What, men and brethren, what shall we do?" Let's look at that slide. People who heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Now, we don't use the word "shall" a lot in English language in America. And that's kind of sad, because the word "shall" is an imperative, which means must, absolutely, we are compelled to do. What is it that we absolutely have to do? And as was read to you by Jeremy a while ago, he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, you know, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That was the answer. But we first have to get to the point in the story where all of us are cut in our heart. And then we have to be willing to do something. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden." In other words, you got a lot on you. "I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And we read that and we go, oh, that sounds so good. But we need to remember something. It's still a yoke. And a burden might be light, but it's still a burden. Did you ever have a sadistic PE teacher? Most of us did. They ever make you put your hands out? Sometimes do little circles. Then a little circles like, because this comes in handy in life. I'm pretty sure. Anyway. And then just when you thought you were finally done, they say, now reverse them the other way. And you go, and you, they're all, ah! Now there's not a whole lot. There's no burden at all, but it's a light burden, but a burden can still be a burden. Jesus says, you're going to have a burden if you walk with me. And it may seem light, but you're going to walk with me. A yoke, for you guys that are younger and have never seen this in a third world country. A yoke is a bit of board, that is put upon two animals as a rule. The animals are then yoked together. They must move as a unit. Normally it's an oxen. There are two oxes, or there are two mules. There might be donkeys. I hate to say donkey after Shrek and Scottish people with that word, but two whatever. Now, you just don't go randomly grab a couple and yoke them together. You yoke an experienced one with an inexperienced one. Because the inexperienced one doesn't know exactly where to go and the speed of it. Jesus is saying, you're going to be yoked to me. You're going to have to go my direction at my speed. Has anybody found that to be difficult in your life? Just me? All right, fair enough. All right, two or three others. And the rest of you liars are the ones I'm trying to talk to today. Well, how are we going to move? How do we know when we have really been, we've really become Christian? Now please understand, I'm not trying to question somebody's salvation. If you've been baptized into Christ, I'm with you, right there. But some of us older folk remember when we used to get smallpox and polio tests and injections. And they used to have to do it with a whole bunch of needles. And, you know, ugh. Now after that, they would put a little plastic cup over it and tape it. Now, in a couple days, if your arm looked like a mutant squash, there was a problem. They would say, this didn't take right. And they would have to do it, you know, something's wrong, we're going to have to do this again. Now, have you ever wondered if your baptism took? I believe that baptism, you are saved. That's part of our story. But how do we know if you're really walking with Jesus? That's Acts chapter 2. How did they know? Well, as you've read, they were changed. Look at this next slide. They're now citizens of heaven. They have become a bigger story than the Jews. That's a bigger story than America or Scotland or Indonesia or Uganda. It's a bigger story. It's all of us now. And we are now citizens of a new kingdom. We have new rituals. Just like Americans have rituals with when they decorate for Christmas and what they do here and how they do it this way and what Thanksgiving is. I can still remember when we taught our neighbors in Scotland how to do Thanksgiving meal. They thought this was fantastic. They came over, but the most amazing thing to them was the pumpkin pie. In Scotland, and I'm not defending this, pumpkins are looked upon as cattle food. You don't feed humans this. And the concept of humans eating this was amazing. And a couple of them even tried it. One, however, did say, I now know why you call it Thanksgiving, because you only have to do this once. That was a waste of pumpkin pie. We're not helping that individual anymore. And we're pretty sure they can't go to heaven. But the point is we had a ritual. And we wanted to show them the ritual. We have rituals now. Baptism. The Lord's Supper. These are ways of us saying we are one story. I have no problem with celebrating diversity. None at all. Because that's different people's stories, and I'm fascinated by the stories. But we need to remember that all of us diverse individuals can celebrate one big story. The story that Jesus Christ came to forgive our sins. And because of His sacrifice, all of us are baptized into one body, one story. And what will that look like? Well, look at this. We're now a holy priesthood. We are fellow laborers. If you look at that, it says with God. Do you remember the old Blues Brothers movie? We're on a mission from God. Come on, people. What would Monday morning look like if we woke up and said, you know something? I'm on a mission for God. I'm a player in this story. I am a priest of God entering the world this morning. I'm a pilgrim. I don't belong to this world. I'm not taking anything from this planet. This world has no hold on me at all. I can walk through it as a priest doing God's business. Would that change your Monday? Absolutely. I don't know why you're not answering. But absolutely. We now look for another home. And along the way, we share. We share our possessions. We share our lives. And we do not do so as a member of an exclusive club. It's not yay, us. Instead, we tell everybody we meet, you join us in the story because it's your story too. Come join us here. Come out of the mire and muck of the world. As Corinthians says, come ye out from among them. Be ye separate. You don't have to live like the world says. Sin is defeatable because sin was defeated. And evil can be overcome with good because it was. And that can be true in your life as well. Jeremy, would you bring up your team, please? This is what love in action looks like. This is what walking with Jesus, with His yoke and His burden looks like. Acts chapter 2 was already read to you once today. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That's what love looks like, and that's what our story is. It can be your story if you choose to be baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and walk with Jesus. That's why we don't just speak of grace. We speak of amazing grace. Amen, church? Then let's stand and sing.